Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, you beautiful groovers. It's Graham here. Welcome to our Europa League compilation show. Ahead of the London Derby in Baku, we thought we could and would put together some of our brilliant guests reflecting on their experiences in this competition. We begin with a non-participant, Kevin Bridges, and the ultimate fan experience at the 2003 UEFA Cup final. Did you know that Henrik Larsson performed medical miracles that night, as well as score two fantastic goals? Tune in for Kevin's bittersweet experience of seeing his team, Celtic, lose in extra time to Jose Mourinho's Porto. Terry Butcher takes us back to Ipswich's 1981 UEFA Cup final win over AZ Alkmaar, a completely bonkers two-legged affair in which Bobby Robson's side eventually won 5-4 and set themselves up for an autumn thrashing at Pittodrie when Aberdeen put the holders out. Fast forward exactly 20 years and another English side picked up the UEFA Cup with exactly the same scoreline, albeit in one extra time match, which was eventually settled by a golden goal. Gary Mack tells the tale of Liverpool's epic 9-goal thriller over Alaves from his perspective, while Jamie Carragher describes the exhausted exhilaration he felt on that famous night. Ander Herrera then talks us through his man of the match winning performance in Manchester United's victory over Ajax in the 2017 Europa League final. Before finally we close with the mighty Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank on Middlesbrough's swashbuckling run to the 2006 final against Sevilla.
What you've never told me but is interesting to me is about the Sevilla experience beyond the match, beyond the fact that Celtic were outstanding and cheated out of a trophy. Travelling there, the heat, the behaviour of the fans, the culture, the things that...
Well, I wasn't football. Going to be allowed to go because I had two exams coming up, which is a fairly valid reason for missing a football match.
Except you didn't think of it that way at the time?
No. Well, my dad, he missed Lisbon in 67 because he told me for the same price as the bus that we're going to get, the bus feed in Toker, down to Lisbon. Down to Lisbon, I'm saying that as if that's a route from Clydebank to Lisbon. What buses aren't you?
It's a 67, is it?
They were taking a bus, and for that same price, they could have had 2 weeks in Arnold, which apparently that was the Magaluf day. So it was the first lads' holiday all the game. And he went on the lads' holiday. I don't understand that either. But I think he was saying at the time, as a Celtic fan, being in the European Cup final wasn't quite the same level of hysteria as being in the UEFA Cup final in Seville. It was as if...
There'll be more.
We'll be in next year's jocks team. So they done the lads' holiday and he missed Lisbon. Obviously devastating when we won. Delighted, but that bit of him just going, I should have went. I should really have went. So 1970, Milan, he went to Milan. We get beat. Feyenoord beat Celtic. And then I think he thought that was it. I don't ever anticipated it would be, what, 1970? 33 years until we were in a European final again. So I think he was going to have me go through the same pain. Basically, his attitude was these things happen every 33 years under this Celtic team. Who knows? Well, I don't see it for a while anyway. I think that's a bit harsh. I don't know. But anyway, he was pretty much keen on live for the moment. You need to take these experiences. This is the stories you tell your grandchildren. And he managed to overrule my mother. And I missed my maths and computing exam to go to the game. And then we managed to get match tickets and stuff like that. Because I'd been to a lot of the away games and stuff, so I'd quite a high priority, whatever it's called, the points you accumulate. We arrived there one in the afternoon, baking hot. I don't think I seen concrete hoops everywhere. A couple of Porto fans kicking about, and ain't even ever considered them, just buying a Celtic trip. I just never expected this.
What was it? What was? Is it not? I mean, like, my memory is that whenever you come out of the plane or
the heat, it was absolutely just suffocating. Like,
this
heat.
Is what I mean. People who haven't lived that don't know what it's like. You get knocked out by the heat. There's this.
Plus that many people, the body heat,
noise,
even if that was in
Moscow
in that final, it would have been...
Getting anywhere quickly is impossible. Aye. You hear all the accents and the jokes and yep. the bevy everywhere. It's just, it's the only thing we do well at football.
It was like the whole city was just, you constantly felt as if you were just leaving the game. You know, that way you're just shoulder to shoulder with somebody the whole day. So it was me, my dad, my uncle George. And my dad's arthritis began to play up pretty bad, so we had to find him a taxi somewhere to get him to the stadium. And me and my Uncle George were going to walk up through the square to the Olympic Stadium. So we managed to find this taxi. We only got three guys getting in. And my Uncle George said, look, can you just take him up? You're all going to the same place, obviously. And we'll just catch you up there. So my dad got in. But then when he drove away, my dad had the tickets, right? So my Uncle George is going, right, he's got all the tickets. We never arranged a place to meet. He obviously presuming we'll just get him at the seat when we get into the stadium. So we're trying to find them. We got to the stadium, we walked up, and we're just going, how do you even go about finding a guy with a Celtic strip on in Seville? So we're just like, unfortunately, my dad had found this big grassy park and just sat in the middle, just hoping we'd see him. I remember just being delighted. I was going, Dad! Just like ran across, grabbed the tickets, 3 years went in. But there's people, because he'd sat down, there's people obviously thinking that was because he was steaming, but he doesn't drink. And people try to pick him up, just going, come on, big man, you're
we'll get you
in
there. I've had a couple too.
And he started to go, I'm fine. So we made it into the stadium.
Do you know two stories, Kate? I was travelling back from Almeria this season with somebody who'd been involved with UEFA's security on that day. Was it the Olympic Stadium?
The Olympic Stadium, aye, that's right.
And he said to me, there's two things that they'd made it difficult for you guys, unfortunately. They'd come up with this brilliant ticketing idea, which was like, it was like infrared and 6D, and there was computer chips in it, and it was like, they'd used a Spanish treasury to design and print the tickets.
But you know there's somebody in the East End coming up with an even more advanced scheme to get the fakes through.
The only thing that could outthink the East End was the Spanish system, which went, they said, how many machines will we need to read these tickets for 45,000 quid? One. They had one machine operating for all the tickets they had to scan it through. So they went, nobody can get in, there's only one, they can't move that thing around the state. That's all they had. So they started opening doors and just looking at the tickets and letting them in. And at one stage, there was such a big queue of people with tickets that log jam caused by the fact that they couldn't read the tickets. They opened a big door and they looked out and all they could see was a sea of wheelchairs with people in green and white strips outside. It was just acres and acres of wheelchairs, like a sort of attack of the killer wheelchairs. And what had happened was the word had got about, I wasn't there at the time, this is the UEFA guy telling me that, Celtic fans had found out that there was either reduced or free access to disabled people. So they'd gone round the whole of Seville's hospitals, clinics, medical supply shops and bought all the wheelchairs and wheeled themselves up there to get in. And it was like your bus story about, you got to let us in, man. Look, the wheels, we've got the wheels.
And as soon as the goal goes in, they're up.
Your beauty.
Henrik Larsson curing the disabled. Never seen so many disabled people jump.
Ingenuity.
No, I never seen that myself. I seen one
guy. No, but it's characterful.
He managed to get through with a fake ticket. He's turning around to his mates. Like going, yeah, as if shouting, they worked. Rather than just head down and get to your seat or find a seat. I had loads of stories. It was a great experience, especially at that age. I was 16, I'd have been. Mm. Just to take in something as massive as that.
I seem to remember, I might be wrong, the two-legged final of the UEFA Cup, which is triumphant. It's maybe, including the 62 title, it's maybe the best moment in the club's history. I guess it is. Maybe one of the best moments in your... It felt that, particularly in the second, I mean, was there a bit of tiredness eventually because it became closer than maybe it should have been?
No, it wasn't tiredness. Certainly wasn't tiredness. I mean, the preparation was all right. We'd play the game against Southampton and lost 3-2, a league game in between the two legs. So you know we'd lost the title. We'd obviously lost the FA Cup early on, and we're 3-0 up, playing in Amsterdam Arena, and it's you just want the game to you just want to finish the game off. You don't care because you got one hand on the trophy. And it's a really strange position to be in because it's not as though it's even Stevens. It's not, but you still you don't want the embarrassment of losing a 3-goal lead. Ipswich had lost a 3-goal lead against Barcelona before and Companies Cup, whatever it was.
When Cruyff, it went to penalties and Cruyff
absolutely
took over, that was the one you were
absolutely
talking about, yeah.
So, on the day, Alkmaar played very similar to the Graham Taylor's Watford. They played two at the back, Spell Boss and Metgod, Johnny Metgod, remember
good,
him?
Good. Well, played against Aberdeen in the Cup, yeah. First Cup final.
And they had 2-4-4, they went. And we were like, wow. Because we played against it before with Graham Taylor's Watford, but for them to do that, that was quite radical and very brave.
What were the challenges in football terms when they played like that against you?
Well, it's man for man, and you there's no, if you make a mistake, then you're under pressure. And by making it man to man, man on man, one on one, it puts your opponent under pressure, and they on the day they had nothing to lose.
Like five aside, you cannot let your man go by.
You stay with your man all the time.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's your job. And yeah. As long as sometimes in football, if it's simple instructions like that can take away the pressure off you, and you just say, right, I'm going to go wherever I want to go when we haven't got the ball. When you're in possession, you can be out of position, and things like this. But you have to be back in position when you're out of possession. And that's without a drink.
Alvin,
quite well.
Alvin, are you listening to this?
I could do quite well. So we went 1-0 up, and you think, well, that's the game over. Because we've got the away goal, we're 4-0 up.
Yeah.
And then they score a goal straight away. And then we get a second goal, and you're thinking, well, it must be over now. It was like in a boxing ring where you keep hitting the opponent, and he keeps going down, but he keeps getting back up. Yeah. You're thinking, I'm going to knock him out in a minute, and the referee's going to throw, there's going to be a towel thrown in, but the towel wasn't thrown in. And in the end, they won 4-2, and your mass comes into it then. You're thinking, a bit like Salonika in the first round.
Yeah.
You're thinking, no, this can't happen. But we held on to win the tie,
so
overall.
Tactics aside of them going man for man and playing this formation they weren't quite used to facing, therefore you have to adapt. Much of that was psychology. The fact that you have to cope with the idea of what semi-won and they have nothing to lose. Is that what I was seeing when I saw the second leg? That I wondered, why aren't Ipswich putting this game, this team to bed? But it was something to do with them just saying, well, we just can get at them, no?
Yeah, and also because Gaethje then couldn't get any space, couldn't get away anywhere, couldn't get find the holes that he normally found, especially in the first game, so because he had a man marker and he would follow him everywhere, so we couldn't get our men on the ball that would win us the games or had won us the games that season. You could also say as well, it's 66 games, it was the end of a really, really competitive season. And the semi-final, when we went away to Cologne, it was Easter. So we played Arsenal on the Saturday. We lost at home 2-0. We played Norwich away on the Monday, lost 1-0. Mm-hmm. And then we had on the Wednesday, we flew out after the game to Cologne, after the game on Easter Monday. So we then had to play on the Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And then we played the following Saturday. Mm-hmm. So from Saturday to Saturday, there was four games, mm-hmm. which is like unbelievable.
Is that one of the great regrets? Because you were a title-winning side, but that didn't quite...
Well, we beat Villa three times that season, once in the Cup as well, home and away, and we felt we were the better team. But at the end of the day, the best team wins the title, there's no doubt about that. And we gave away a lot of points, we had a bad run in. The last dozen games, were, by our standards, were very poor, and that's where we lost it.
Do you know what happened, retrospectively?
You could say tiredness, but I think there's a lot of stake pressure. Teams knew us very well, they didn't want to get beaten by us again, and we just didn't do the business that we had done previously.
I don't know if I'm talking rubbish, but I remember at the time thinking that Aston Villa maybe had just two or three guys of a deeper squad. It felt like they were
well,
able to cope with
you say a deeper squad. I think they only played used only 14 or 15 players
15,
that season.
Think, yeah.
15 players, and we must have used 20 odd because we got
Seriously.
Massive injuries. We got injuries to BT, we got injuries to Mariner, we got injuries to key players. George Burley was injured halfway through the season.
Maybe
well.
I've said it wrong in that. I remember that it felt like a combination of injuries and then the tiredness of playing so many games and being alive in so many competitions. It has to drain that 0-0 becomes 1-0 to you or 1-1.
I mean, we wanted to win something. Probably the least sort of impressive trophy that we could have won, we won. You'd rather win the FA Cup, you'd rather win the league title, obviously, but it was still an incredible feeling. It was an incredible season. I think Adidas voted us the team of the year and all that sort of thing. And, it was just a wonderful journey for us all. It was just incredible.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Maybe we'll let you go on a golden memory, unless there's things about Leicester and Coventry we have to see, because I guess Alaves is still... Has there been a better night for you in football than that?
No, I don't think so. You know, I think I was involved in all the goals, scored a goal. We touched on it earlier. I was given Man of the Match and presented by Johan Cruyff. It doesn't get much better than that, does it?
How can I do it on it? That was sort of Little Britain, wrote the theme tune.
It was just one of those nights.
Heck of a stadium,
I've
too.
I've got to say, we go 1-0, we go 2-0. I think we're winning 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And then the one little thing, you know, Gerard really was brilliant to me. This was maybe one of the reasons why we didn't quite just get the win in the league at Liverpool, because the following season we were unlucky second to Arsenal. At 2-0, information comes on, Gary, Didi, stay behind it, Stevie, let's protect what we've got, rather than being having that cavalier. If you're going to win a league, you've got to, at some point, you know, you go and win 5, go and win 6. What he knew best was what to protect what he had. We were cruising. And then Alaves make a couple of brave substitutions. Mm-hmm. They're in it, they're back in it, and it turned. Mm-hmm. We are rocking. And Robbie Fowler comes on and gets a goal. And the, you know, the golden goal to this day, if you get a wee chance to ever see that ball hitting off the head and getting into the back post, 4 or 5 of our boys go back to the centre. They don't know.
You knew, eh?
I knew.
Yeah.
But if I'm thinking back, Sammy Hippier, Marcus Babel, Didi, they're going back ready to see you at the game.
I hope in the celebrations there was a wee bit of punishment for you know, because it's a hard school of knocks in the dressing room, and if you go back to the centre circle, there's got to be some.
By the way, we were ushered back into the changing room with a wee bit of photographs and that taken, and then we were straight on an aeroplane heading to the Valley to beat Charlton in the last game of the season to secure Champions League.
So the which you...
There was nothing after the game.
And a celebration of several days later is good, but it's not quite that...
It was a good trip back from the Valley, I've got to say.
But the euphoria, that mad euphoria.
Yeah, it couldn't have done it. We were literally... We had a massive, probably a bigger game, as far as...
It's the you know, that pragmatic revenue.
We're trying to attract players, you've got to be in the Champions League. And this was we had to win the game at the Valley.
I wonder, a glorious interview with Gary Mack about the Alaves game, how chaotic and fun that was, and what a fantastic team you had. You were equally knackered in that one, weren't you, for a different reason altogether?
Yeah. I think we were gone physically and mentally in that game, and we'd played Arsenal 3 days before and won a cup final from nowhere. The heat was unbelievable that day at Cardiff again. We'd won it late on. And I also remember going to the UEFA Cup final on the coach. And normally a cup final, there's a bit of nerves, there's a bit of tension on the bus. And I remember looking round, and it was like we were playing a normal game. Not that we weren't. We were just physically... Even being in, like, the zone doesn't take a lot, but it's like everyone was just like... We were shattered. Played every cup game we could possibly play. We won the 3 cups. We ended up getting to the Champions League, which we did 3 days later, and we were awful. We beat Charlton away 4-0 the first half, which could have been 4-0 down. We were that. But Alaves, on a normal day, we'd have beat them 3-4-0. And I always remember the celebration afterwards with the Alaves game. And I always remember it was like the bath at the end of the game. It was more like a swimming pool. It wasn't a bath. And everyone was just sitting there without saying it. We just won the UEFA Cup. Everyone was just sat there. It was like, it was so strange. I can picture it now because I thought, this is so strange. But I was part of it. You're just physically gone, physically and mentally gone. Like, you couldn't even celebrate. You just won one of the most, probably the most amazing UEFA Cup final of all time. We've got the three trophies, the treble of the three cups, and we had a game 3 days later against Charlton. But I don't mean celebrate in terms of, you know, getting on the aisle or something when you went back to the hotel, but even just you see pictures, don't you, people laughing and joking in the bath, throwing a trophy around, or, you know, old-fashioned pictures, whereas we were just absolutely shattered.
This is the joy of doing this, because I've never heard anybody say that before, but you've immediately made me think. By sheer fluke, I was invited into the World Cup winning dressing room, and I came out telling friends, I've seen our pub teams or Sunday lunchtime teams celebrating an away win against Duffers with more passion than the Spanish boys. A quick hooray, the Queen coming in, roughing it all in tears, painted face, the lads posing with the cup, and then whew, like that, flat, not flat unhappy, but like you said, no adrenaline, no leaping about.
I think what happens is you have a lot of you celebrating on the pitch, what happens when you win a trophy, so I think sometimes that takes it out of you, but you feel like you've done it. But certainly with that Alaves one, it was different to the others. You'd still, I can't remember getting pictures in the dressing room with the cup against Alaves, UEFA Cup, whereas if you're in the FA Cup or the Carling Cup or the European Cup, you're still all, but that one was just like, thank God it's over.
You see, that what I was meaning by that is that, do you think that as fans, we underestimate exactly how drained and exhausted a footballer can get?
I think so. I think especially mentally, because physically, I think we probably all played football at different levels, and for us to get absolutely shattered is a different level to the man on the street or the supporter, but maybe not understanding or getting the mental tiredness, which I think is more,
which affects your decision making.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's the build up to the game. It's how you're playing well yourself, or the team doing well. Have you made a mistake in the game? It's, we have to win. The pressure of, we're playing Alaves in the finals. Well, don't forget, we're expected to win this comfortably.
Can't lose because it's Alaves.
It's 4-4. Yeah. It's golden goal. We're a few minutes away from penalty shootout. It's, you know, it just, it does. It takes your time. Cup finals are normally the end of the season. Obviously, the end of the season. So.
I find some similar things with the final we played against Ajax. I think it was kids against men. And that's exactly what happened against Atletico Madrid. We were playing men against kids. And I had the same feeling against Ajax last season. When we started the game and they were having the ball, I was saying to myself, we're going to win this game, because these guys are going to make one mistake or two mistakes, and we are going to kill them. And we did.
They felt a little bit green, Ajax, as if they haven't been the course time amazing, and again to
amazing
get
amazing philosophy, amazing way of playing, quite a romantic club as well about the way they played. But I think our manager prepared the final.
You got it exactly
very
right,
good,
huh?
Very good. He told us what was going to happen, and it happened.
And you dominated that match, so we're back to cup finals.
Not maybe the ball, but we dominated the game.
You did dominate the game. Yeah. It felt like control. Yeah. It doesn't have to be the ball. True. A team which knew what was going to happen, knew what they had to do. Yeah. In a fight, it's like, wait, punch. Yeah, true. And also, you get voted man of the match.
Yeah.
Why do you think you won that vote? And does that ever matter when you get an award like that?
To be honest, the way I feel football, I would take all the individual awards out, because this is a
Ballon d'Or as well. Ballon d'Or as well.
You think Messi needs Ballon d'Or to know that everyone knows this is the best player in the history?
I have my view, but I'm interested in what you say.
For me, he doesn't need the trophies.
No.
To let us know that he is the best in the history. I know already he's the best I've ever seen.
Which I agree with, but without being critical of Cristiano at all.
No, but
he uses the Ballon d'Or to motivate
himself. To motivate themselves,
it's like a fuel for him, which I just find.
Okay, let's start again the answer. I wouldn't take the awards out, but I don't trust them. I don't trust in individual awards in football, so I wouldn't take them out, because I know it's a business as well, and it's important.
It is,
but I don't trust them.
It's good. It's a good answer. Yeah. I understand that answer exactly. Yeah. You must ask Jimmy about Middlesbrough's UEFA Cup final run. Has he ever known a better atmosphere in a half-empty stadium as the wondrous Riverside win over Basel? One of the best games I've ever witnessed.
No, one of the best games I've ever played in. We were losing on aggregate something like 4-1 or something, half-time. and we just had to go for it, and we won 5-4. And we scored two goals, I think, in the last 5 minutes. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And then against Steaua Bucharest, we did the same. Unbelievable.
The power of belief.
But then we lost against Seville 4-0 because we had run all our luck out. And Seville was good, to be honest.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.